A resident of Catskill, and he's here today to talk to us about political reform, specifically about term limits. And he intends to talk about the absence of systematic studies, confusion on the part of the advocates concerning the values they want to pursue and the results they're looking for, a bad cure for real problems and counter-democratic effects. Dick May is a former professor at the University of Queensland in Australia, although he taught at many other colleges as a political science professor, but that is the last place he taught before he retired in 1992. Dick, can you tell us more about the political reform project you're working on and exactly what you're looking at?
Well, hello, Elaine. As a hobby, I make notes and compile ideas about various schemes of political reform, positive and negative. And term limits is a hardy perennial in that field. And it's much more popular than I'd thought. A recent Rasmussen poll indicated that about 70% of respondents thought they were for term limits. I think it's also an interesting idea in that it seems to cut across usual political alliances. It's not a characteristically right-wing idea or a characteristically left-wing idea. It doesn't divide the way abortion does or same-sex marriage, a lot of so-called hot-button issues. People who style themselves progressives, who are not averse to government in general, are apt to support term limits, and so are people who's sort of underlying ideas that there shouldn't be any government and there shouldn't be any professional politicians. And the more often you turn over whoever's in government, the better off you are.
Well, let me ask you something, Dick. I mean, what are your own personal views about term limits?
I think it's a bad idea, and I'd be very happy to tell you why. And I have, as you outlined, four lines of argument against. One is simply the significance of absence. It's the absence of studies that are eminently feasible. Take a before-after case, a bunch of before-after cases. The absence of term limits, the introduction of term limits, what change is made in patterns of government. Studies of that kind haven't been done. Similarly, take neighboring states or units, and one with term limits and the other without. How do they differ? And do they differ in ways that are good and bad? And what are the tests? That kind of study is conspicuous by its absence. Secondly, if you Google term limits, you get advocates of term limits, including people who purport to conduct a national campaign. And I look for them to indicate what they think can be accomplished by way of a term limits reforms and what their tests of merit are. And I find incoherence. Do they want government to be closer, more sensitive to public opinion? Is that what the goal is? Or do they just want to make it have government by people who pursue their own ideas of what's best in a kind of amateurish way, or some other lines of thought. As far as I can tell, there is confusion among those who offer rationales. Okay, that's a second line of grounds for pessimism or skepticism. Okay. Toward the term limits idea. Third point is this. Term limits idea is a very bad cure for a very serious, genuine problem. The problem is the entrenchment of certain politicians on conditions, under conditions, that insulate them from their constituents. They're unable to persist in office without necessarily being sensitive to their constituents, to the voters, to the public. And this is accomplished by way of a recurring, genuine, and deep problem, to make it sound really sinister, conspiracy on the part of all incumbents, all incumbent office holders in a legislative assembly are not adversaries of one another. Their opposition comes from outside, members of their own parties and that sort of thing, battles for nominations. So when the majority controls redistricting and is bent on achieving a redistricting lines, boundary lines, that make every one of the majority inhabit a safe district, safe in terms of party enrollment. The way they do that is to enable a smaller sized minority members to all have safe districts. So the Democrats are in control, shove all the Republicans into a few overwhelmingly safe Republican districts, leaving all the other districts safe for Democrats. It's not as simple as that, because ghettoization creates a lot of the problem. All the people in a given community are Republicans or Democrats and the like. But there's also all the advantages of incumbency that the incumbents bestow upon themselves, not only their salaries, but also office expenses, rules concerning the use of government resources for campaigning, ethical boundaries about politics. And the various incumbents have a stake in not policing their own ranks.
And can you just explain to me how that specifically relates to term limits? Because I lost you a little bit on that last
Okay,
piece.
If you have term limits, this is overcome. Simply, no matter what you do as an incumbent, you can't be reelected. You can't be returned.
So, okay, Dick, I'm going to stop you for just one second
sure
to ask
enough.
You a question, because I'm suddenly finding myself uncertain whether you're for or against. I thought in the beginning, throughout this interview, you've been suggesting that having term limits would not be a good idea.
That's right.
So that is correct. Okay, so you are a proponent of, for lack of a better phrase, really, perpetuating the status quo. Or do you have a thought?
Perpetuating the current rules.
Yes.
I have a lot of solutions for the problem I just mentioned.
Okay.
But I should say that the term limits indiscriminately drives incumbents from office, even very good ones who are in marginal districts and are obliged to be sensitive to their constituents. So you sweep out everybody when the problem relates to only a few people.
Well, but what about the machine, so to speak? I mean, a lot of people would argue that it's not just a question of those politicians that are good and being affected by something like term limits, for example. I mean, a lot of people would argue that there's a political machine out there and that if you don't play the game, you're out. So, in effect, there wouldn't be the possibility, really, to improve things without having something like term limits for that very reason, because you have to do away with the machine. And that's part of it, because the machine will keep itself alive as long as it can.
If the machine keeps itself alive by producing representative government, responsive government, hooray for that. If a politician remains in office and in the absence of term limits, perpetually in office, and does so under conditions whereby he is sensitive to the public and is obliged circumstantially to be sensitive to the public, hooray. The idea that we are poisoned by having people want to have office and to keep office is crazy.
Right. But if you have the machine that supports the people that it wants in office, how can it really truly represent the people in a scenario like that? Because they're not necessarily looking at the people that are the best, or the politicians, the candidates that would be the best for the people. They're looking at the political candidates that would be the best for the party. And I think that's where it becomes very problematic, which is why you have so many proponents of something like term limits.
I don't know where this machine concept comes from. I mean, I know about past history. I'm in the Hague machine long ago. But the office holders in the state of New York are not products of either on the Republican side or the Democratic side of any overarching political machine.
And okay, now I would disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because recently I interviewed a farmer. I interviewed him for my own website, and he happens to also be on the town board. And having grown up in this area and knowing a lot of the people, I have several friends that are attorneys, judges, and politicians. I won't mention any names because I wouldn't do that to the people that tell me things in confidence. But I can tell you this, that some of those people are not being supported by their parties right now in the current elections that are coming up because they have not supported the decisions that the county chairs of their parties wanted them to support. And that is a perfect example of a very operative political machine that still exists. And I think that's true in the state too, especially after having worked there myself with the state legislature for 5 years. I think the machine is alive and well, and may be better at covering up the machinations, but they exist very much so. I mean, even if you look at candidates over and over again, there's like, how many political dynasties do we have? It's like the father and sons and grandsons that keep getting elected into office, and there's a reason for that. And I do feel like that's a credible part of the argument for proponents of term limits, because I think having term limits, a lot of people would argue, would create an incentive to people to come into their communities and really want to do good, because there would be a better opportunity to leave a legacy behind, for example, for the next politician to come in and want to outdo that person and do better in the community. Whereas I think right now, and I also know this from interviewing people for my website, and this is just a small group of people, so I don't for a moment to profess to know it all or to even have a very clear grasp on a lot of the stuff that I'm learning, but these are the things that I'm hearing from the people, and there are so many people out there, and certainly I would consider the majority of people, the average working class person, feels like they're not represented in government.
A lot of people feel that way, and it suits them to feel that way because we want to shift blame. There is a kind of instinctive movement. The times are not good. There's a government out there. It must be due in some measure to the government. Let's get rid of everybody who's in government, and then things will be all right.
But are you suggesting
that's exceedingly naive?
But you don't think there's any credibility to those arguments then? Like, you don't think there's anything behind it as far as certain people not... And I'm not, by the way, talking about people on Occupy Wall Street. I'm talking about middle-class people that...
I understand that.
Okay.
Well, sure. There may be some credibility to it, but I do not see any insidious machines that are in control in Greene County. There's efforts on the part of both sides to show solidarity, to be cohesive. They're not very successful efforts.
Which I think is wonderful, by the way. I mean, I do want to say I do agree with you to the extent that I think, and I certainly saw this with my years in Albany, there are really good politicians who are trying to do the right thing by their community. So I don't for a moment want to suggest that that doesn't exist.
Well, I'm glad you, of course, make that qualification. One ought to go another step before we get to point number four and say that there is this feeling, widespread feeling, that politicians are evil, that politics is a bad business, so government should be conducted by amateurs, inexperienced people who are somehow from the community, representatives of the community. Well, it's government really is a complicated business. Finding solutions to what are seen to be problems requires sophisticated analysis, and it requires people who are keen to conduct that sophisticated analysis. It requires people who are skilled at finding accommodations between conflicting views. So I'm not at all worried about the existence of durable office holders. One must make sure, however, concerned about conditions under which they endure. And if they are in a position to rig the system, if they're the beneficiaries of a rigged system, which can come about for the reasons I just suggest, collusion between mm-hmm. incumbents, collusion between machines, mm-hmm. if you like, then we'd be well off. Should we pursue this some more, I'll go on to point four.
Sure. Let's go to point four.
Okay, point four. My first line of argument against term limits is the standard representative responsive government argument. If you have term limits, then the voters are deprived from time to time of the opportunity to return to office people they like, that have they believe have served them well. And that seems offhand to be unfortunate. Mm-hmm. More importantly, or to complete the point, when you have term limits, you extinguish the incentive of an incumbent to learn the views of his constituents or her constituents, to be sensitive to what's going on in his or her own district, to find accommodation, to be clever and effective as a representative. Why bother? Instead, why not sell your vote to high bidders, to line up your job as a lobbyist by the way you serve them in your final term? Or why not just sit at home and draw your pay?
I don't think, though, that you would have as much power as a lobbyist if you were term limited, depending, of course,
on the
length of your term.
The idea here that I'm suggesting is an incumbent who has no way of being reelected, is barred from reelection,
right,
loses the incentive to please his constituents and can spend his time being bought by a lobbyist. And there's no penalty involved. He could also, he may be a very self-righteous, conscientious person. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. He knows what's best. He doesn't have to pay attention anymore to re-election.
So what about term-limited offices now? I mean, the president is term-limited. Governors, many governors are term-limited. I mean,
there are offices,
exactly. So I mean, and that seems to work. That they're no more, no less influenced by lobbyists or selling the vote than they are now. In fact, I think many people would argue that they would be less so if they were term-limited than they are now.
I wonder why they would do that argument on the basis of experience.
Well, I guess. I don't know if it would be on the basis of experience per se, but I think, I don't know, intuitively, my first thought about that is, let's say you have a 4-year term limit, for example, mm-hmm. Or an 8-year term limit. That would, I think the argument that you just offered would make more sense to me as a listener and somebody who's particularly interested in this subject matter if it were like a 2-year term limit. But a 4 or 8-year term limit, they could want to do great things in that time. I think the incentive to do good would be just as strong. I'm wondering, do you have something you're basing that opinion on? I mean, when you talk about the research with term limits, is this something that's come up in your own research?
I'm talking about the absence of research.
Right.
The absence of attempts systematically to demonstrate that a community, state, that has term limits is better governed than a neighboring state that doesn't have term limits. The absence of studies indicating that a state that has acquired term limits is better governed, has turned out to be better governed than it was before.
But if there's an absence of information, I guess I'm a little confused by that statement because
yes,
there would be nothing to really measure it against except as you have your own feeling, it seems to me, about this, as other people have their own feelings.
They're welcome to have their own feelings. But the advocate of change bears the onus, bears the burden of proof. Let's not exaggerate the burden of proof, the burden of plausibility,
yes,
of probability, of demonstrating a need and indicating that this move, this particular reform, would meet the need.
Okay.
You follow me?
I do. So acknowledging your earliest statement, which is there are a lot of problems with retrenchment, et cetera, that have brought us to this place and time where you see such a high percentage of people in favor of term limits, you've made a strong case for why you're not. You also mentioned some solutions. I'd love to hear what you think, especially as somebody who doesn't think that term limits are the answer that would help with this problem.
This problem being?
Well, this problem being a lot of people feeling as though they're not really being adequately represented in government because of retrenched politicians. So if no term limits, what's the answer? Like, what could help?
Oh, there is no one answer, but I'd be very happy to unfold a few proposals that I think would be more salutary.
Yes, I'd love to hear it. I'm very curious.
All right. The ballot that is printed in an election in New York and I guess all states, but I'm not sure, identifies candidates by name and by party affiliation. In Greene County, if you want to run for office, you've got to be a Republican or a Democrat, duly nominated through a prescribed process, or invent a greener green party or turn green into red party, something of the kind. That is, I think, unfortunate and ought to be just gotten rid of. Why have party identity on the ballot? And here's the reason why it shouldn't. Because if you have it on there, you're signaling to the voter that this is precious information. I've given you all you need to know. Joe Blow's the Democrat. Bill Smith is the Republican. Those are the choices. And you are deluding or you are helping the voter to be self-deluded that he has conclusive information. Furthermore, there's a matter of legitimacy. Political parties are really private, voluntary entities. They shouldn't be regarded as creatures of the state. But they are regarded when their names appear on the ballot. That obliges the state to decide, have a machinery for deciding who's entitled to those designations on the ballot.
And how do you see that? How do you see not identifying somebody's party status as a way of helping with this issue of adequate representation, democratic representation? How does that help the problem?
It helps it by removing the illusion that you know what candidates stand for by looking at their party labels. And that might prompt the voters to say, I really need to pay attention to what literature they put out.
Okay, so it sounds to me then like you're suggesting that really the power is with the voters, that wouldn't necessarily change political behavior, but it would determine the possibly different outcomes, voting outcomes, so that people would be voting people into office, candidates into office, that they think may actually help change things instead of, as you suggested, Joe Blow, who stands for this. Because I guess I'm thinking of term limits as a way of controlling political behavior on the part of the politicians. And it sounds
so
like what you, okay, because it sounded to me like what that suggested was that perhaps really the answer is with the voters, that if they would have the power to vote different people into office who would be beholden to their constituents rather than, let's say, interest groups or themselves for that matter.
It's too crude a line of distinction. What I want, anyhow, is to have people in office who are sensitive to their wishes of their constituents.
Yes.
And especially to mine, you know, mm-hmm. more than anybody else's. The term limits is a way of preventing that from occurring or deterring that from occurring, at least in the final term of the incumbent's period of office. Maybe this is parenthetical, but there's term limits idea is often coupled with term lengthening proposals. There are people around who say assembly terms should not be 2 years, they should be 4 years, but there should be a limit of 2 terms or mm-hmm. 8 years and that sort of thing. And also parenthetically, our Senator Jim Seward is, to the best of my knowledge, the only guy who said we ought to have term limits on statewide office holders, governors, controllers, and so on. He doesn't advocate it for legislators, but he does advocate it for leaders in the two houses of the two legislative houses.
So the Speaker and the Majority Leader.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think you spent a little time in Albany, and you can appreciate why somebody might...
Well, I can appreciate the imposing term limits on all of them, frankly, but not necessarily because of my experience in Albany, but just because I do happen to believe that, and maybe it's because I'm an idealist by nature and by heart. I just think that if you, and I think, by the way, I do agree with that, that a two-year term is too short. I mean, I just think that you just get into office. It takes you a year just to understand how to cope in that environment, no less learn all you need to know about policy and law. So I do think 2 years is too short a time. I mean, although I am personally a proponent of term limits, I think there should be like 4 to 8 year terms, because I think there needs to be enough time for somebody to be effective. And I also do believe that could leave something behind for the next person to come in and say, I want to do better than that. I mean, look at a lot of the people that are sincere in wanting to make change for the better for their constituents. What do? They go back to the other leaders who have been very effective. You know, they want to emulate those behaviors and those leaders. And I feel like there is something to be said for that with term limits, that if it's a long enough term, they could spend enough time in office to do something really good, where the person coming behind them would say, well, I'm going to bring our community up to the next level now. I'm going to build off of this wonderful thing this other person did. I just personally think that the problem with not having term limits, I mean, look at it, just happened to Vinnie Libell down in Dutchess County. You know, the man spent forever in office, and how nobody caught that he was corrupt for as long as they did is just completely beyond me. I mean, nobody in the media, none of the political watchdogs, they have all kinds of like ethics laws and, you know, people policing these behaviors. And I just feel like it's becoming more and more prevalent. And I think part of what happens is when you spend a long enough time in office, you know how to work those ropes. And it's unfortunate, by the way, for the really good politicians, because it makes it hard, I think, for people to see that we do, in fact, have very good politicians and people that care about their communities. But I don't really see, from my own personal observations and experience, a whole lot of good coming out of people who are in office for 20 years. And I think it's almost better to have somebody more creative, coming in with new ideas, a different way of seeing the world. I think sometimes you can see great change happen in communities when we have that.
And there may be cases of the kind, but there's absolutely no grounds for assuming that the majority of the newcomers would be more creative, more able, more efficient, better trained.
Well, I'm suggesting just by virtue of having somebody new, because they're going to have their own way of seeing the world and implementing some of the things to help the community.
Well, turnover in office certainly desirable. But we must concentrate on the conditions under which we get term limits. I should go back to my no labels idea on the ballot. This has a lot of economic implications too. We wouldn't have primary elections. We wouldn't spend money at running primary. The state, the taxpayers, would not have to fund primary elections for office holders. And there's much more to it than that.
And speaking, we're going to have to wrap up in a moment, and I wish we didn't, because I love this conversation, and I appreciate so much you coming on and talking about this very important topic. But I do want to leave you with kind of a funny note when you talk about no labels. A farmer that I know in Dutchess County recently said to me, I think we should have something on the ballot called vote of no confidence. And if you get a vote of no confidence, that's it. So thank you so much, Dick May. It's been wonderful talking to you about your thoughts and your ideas about political reform and specifically term limits. This is WGXC Radio, and on with us next is going to be Elizabeth Tyer talking about the birthday of our very own Lady Liberty. Thanks for listening, and stay with us.